Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Good morning to everyone out there, and you are welcome to another episode of Everyday Muslim. I welcome you to this show where we delve into the art of faith, of our faith and its relevance to our daily lives. It's really nice to be back here again discussing and exploring unique topics that dwells on our day-to-day activities. I'm your host, Rashida Adetun Okeolani, also known as Olori Adetun, Queen of Purpose. Everyday Muslim is powered by MPAC in collaboration with Women Radio, and of course is open for sponsorship and advert placements. Today, we will turn our focus to Surah Al-Fatiha, the first chapter of the Holy Quran, which is also called Mother of the Book. It's very short, but profound chapter. It is recited in every prayer, holding the essence of guidance, mercy, and the path to success. What makes it so central to our worship and connection with Allah? Join us as we uncover the timeless wisdom Al-Fatiha and its significance in our lives. But before then, I would want us to take a nasheed. Of course, our guest will be joining us virtually. He's a regular person here. But we're taking this nasheed titled For the Rest of My Life by Mazin.
Praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home, it's here with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know, you've opened my heart. I was always thinking that love was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along. Oh, and there's a couple of words I wanna say. For the rest of my life, I'll be with you, I'll stay by your side, honest and true, to the end of my time. I'll be loving you for the rest of my life. Through days and nights, I'll thank Allah for opening my eyes. Now and forever, I'll be there for you. I know it deep in my heart.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio. Join me in welcoming Sheikh Imam Taufik Busari Abu Labiba to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh, Imam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khairan for joining us again. I would also use this medium to welcome you and everyone into the month of Rajab, which is moving closer to the month of Ramadan. May Allah spare our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busari is the director of Darushahada Islamic Center, Otsa Ogun State. He is a Quran tutor of the University, Christian University Abeokuta, also in Ogun State. And I said earlier on that we're looking at Surah Al-Fatiha. That's the opening chapter, also known as Mother of the Book. It is the first chapter of the Quran, and it holds a very huge significance in the life of every Muslim. It is recited in every unit of our Salat and serves as the foundation of worship and supplication. It comprises of seven verses that talks about the Quran at the same time relationship with Almighty Allah. If we look at it very well, the Surah Al-Fatiha, the first part of it, talks about praises and gratitude to Almighty Allah. The second part talks about the mercy of Almighty Allah. Another part talks about devotion and reliance to Almighty Allah. And of course, we have the other part that talks about the guidance on the straight path, which every one of us always seek. Another one is a prayer that Allah should not be misguided, and Allah should continue to guide us. Surah Al-Fatiha is a reminder of our purpose in life, our dependence on Allah, and the ultimate goal of attaining His pleasure. It connects us deeply to our Creator, offering peace, direction, fulfillment in every recitation. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, said, "Allah has not revealed in the Torah, that's the Gospel and the Psalms, or the Quran, anything like Surah Al-Fatiha. He says the seven repeated verses and the great Quran, which I have also been given." This can be found in the book, that's Sunnah Al-Tirmidhi, Hadith 2875. Surah Al-Fatiha, a very deep one indeed. Without it, our salat is not complete. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM, Women Radio. We are glad that you are joining us on this conversation. And of course, it promises to be exciting, educating, and thought-provoking. Of course, also, spiritually uplifting us. Our phone lines will be open shortly, but before then, you can put them the numbers down. 070-317-56537. 070-000-917-917. Imam.
Naam.
My first question. Why does, with all I have said, I would like to enlighten us more on why that Surah Al-Fatiha holds such an esteemed position in the Quran, and how does it reflect the essence of Islamic faith in just seven verses?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. All praises be to Almighty Allah. We beseech His blessings upon the noblest of mankind, Muhammad the son of Abdullah, his household, his companions, and all those that tread his path to the day of reckoning. We thank Allah, who happens to be the creator of all created, and He happens to be not created by anyone, the uncreated creator of the entire creation. May Allah continue to keep us steadfast,
amen,
upon the way of Al-Islam.
Amen.
Make us live our lives as Muslims,
amen,
die as Muslims,
amen,
and be raised on the day of judgment as,
amen,
Muslims. Actually, I don't know what informed the topic of Surah Al-Fatiha and wanting it discussed within an hour, a show of 1 hour. Surah Al-Fatiha is quite far more than that, because scholars have written voluminous books, books in various volumes, explaining Surah Al-Fatiha alone. If we just talk about only one verse in Surah Al-Fatiha, I'm sure the entire 24 hours of Women Radio would not even be enough to explain only that, let alone the entire seven verses of Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is a surah that has a whole lot of, because of its significance, it has a lot of names. Unlike every other surah in the Quran, every other chapters in the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha is also being called Sabah Al-Mathani, the seven repeated verses. It's also called Ar-Ruqya. Surah Al-Fatiha is also called Ash-Shifa, the cure. We call Surah Al-Fatiha as Salah. It's referred to Salah itself because it is one of the crux of Salah, one of the arkan, the pillars of Salah. If you miss it in prayer, the prayer is unamendable. You just have to, repeat it. Surah Al-Fatiha holds such significance in our Salah. In fact, I mentioned that it is called Ash-Shifa, the cure, because reciting Surah Al-Fatiha alone brings cure into our lives, brings cure into our ailments. There was a time some of the companions went out on a journey. When they got to a particular town, they wanted to pass the night in that town. and they requested that they should be hosted, allowed to pass the night in that town. And they said they don't receive guests. They don't allow visitors in their town. So they had to stay in the outskirts. But coincidentally, something happened to their chief, their king. Something happened to him. He was beaten by a snake. So some said it. Another narration is talking about being beaten by a scorpion, but it was a sting, you know, with poisonous content. Mm. So be it snake or scorpion. So they tried all their best within their community, what they know, to be able to relieve their leader of the pain and the the effect of the poison, but they could not. So some of them quickly remembered that they had some visitors, you know, sometimes ago, that is few moments ago, that they refused to host in their community, that probably they should call upon them and ask them how they treat such within their own community or thereabout. So they ran towards the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and asked them, they made such requests. So is it you that refused to host us, that now want us to help your chief, your leader? Then they said, yes, we have something we use to serve as cure as this. They now pleaded that they should please cure their chief, and they obliged, but on one condition. The condition would be that you would give us some handsome gifts, you know, robust gifts that would be going home with, since you refused to host us before. Mm-hmm. So we'll be having some things back for this. So they agreed because their chief was in a critical condition. The companions went to the chief. What did they do? They recited Surah Al-Fatiha. Hmm. That's what brought me to the story. They recited Surah Al-Fatiha into it. They had not gotten to the last verse of Surah Al-Fatiha when the poison of the sting was coming out.
Allahu Akbar.
Was coming out. Surah Al-Fatiha. So that's one of the reasons it is called Ashifa, the cure. Hmm. It serves as cure for whatever, for our ailments. There are so many ailments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses Surah Al-Fatiha to as sabab to cure it. That's how serious Surah Al-Fatiha is. Surah Al-Fatiha, if you look at the entire seven verses, you will see that it comprises the crux of our belief, our iman, our tawheed, the Islamic monotheism. We have what we call tawheed al-rububiyyah, that is the monotheism of the lordship of Allah, accepting that He is the God, the one that created, and everything is consenting to His creation, consenting to His power as a provider, consenting to His lordship. You will find it in Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah described Himself as Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the entire world. Not just Rabbul Alam, the Lord of the world. No, He's the Lord of the entire world, because there are several worlds. We have world of mankind, Alamul Jinn. We have world of the jinn kind. We have Alamul Nabat. We have world of the plants. We have Alamul Hayawanat. We have world of animals. We have world of the different things too, Jamadat, and different other things. There are various worlds, and Allah happens to be the Lord of all the worlds, even the angels. Allah is their Lord. Rabbul Alameen. Allah mentioned this there. So this is all about Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. If you talk about Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, the monotheism, Islamic monotheism, regarding the right of worship of Allah, right of Allah to be worshipped, which is the main essence of our creation.
Allah did not create us for anything except to worship Him. Allah wants us to worship Him. He said, "Wa ma khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun." I did not create mankind or jinkind for any other thing except to worship Me. So right there, Allah embedded in Surah Al-Fatiha the Islamic monotheism regarding the right of Allah to be worshipped. Allah said, "Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in." It is You alone who would worship, and it is from You who seek help. There is this in-depth understanding we need to have regarding Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. If you just say that it is You who would worship and it is You who seek help, the interpretation is not complete. It's not wholesome in that way. Because if you say it is You we worship and it is You we seek help, it could mean that, yes, it is You we worship, but we can worship somebody else. We can worship somebody else. Yes, we worship You. We are fulfilling that promise, but we are worshiping somebody else too. So, and that could have come as na'buduka wa nasta'inuk. We worship You and we seek Your help. So that does not mean that we cannot worship somebody else. That doesn't mean that we cannot seek help from someone else. But what Allah said was a deliberate statement, was an intentional statement. He said, "Iyyaka na'budu." It is You and You alone we worship. That is Islamic monotheism. You and You, Iyyaka na'budu. It is You and You alone. Nobody else deserves our worship except You, Allah. And nobody deserves that we seek help from except You, Allah. Regarding what You, Allah, alone can do, we seek such help from You, Allah, alone. This is Tawheedul Uluhiyya, the Islamic monotheism regarding the worship of Allah. Then we have the Islamic monotheism that has to do with the names and attributes of Allah. And we find it right there in Surah Al-Fatiha as well. And that's where Allah described Himself as Ar-Rahmanu Rahim. Allah is Ar-Rahman, is the especially externally merciful. Ar-Rahim, the especially merciful. He's specifically merciful to some people and generally merciful to everybody. He's Ar-Rahman, He's Ar-Rahim. Part of the names and attributes of Allah. Allah called Himself Malik Yawmiddin, or you can call it Malik Yawmiddin. Either of the two is right. Is that you say Malik Yawmiddin or you say Malik Yawmiddin, either of the two could go. And Allah is being described as part of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you will see that the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also embedded in Surah Al-Fatiha, which is what's it called? The crux of the Islamic monotheism. Those are the main crux of Islamic monotheism right there. When we talk about our essence of creation, it is right there. When you talk about our coming to the world, our forefather Nabiullah Adam was created in Jannah. Allah created him and kept him in Jannah. And later He sent him to the world. And Allah said something when He sent him to the world. He said, "Ihbitu minha jami'a." Leave this place and go to the world. So Allah said, when you get to the world, I will send my guidance to you when you get to the world. Because it is only with the guidance of Allah we can be successful. Without the guidance of Allah, we'll go astray. Because how would we be able to maneuver? How would we be able to manipulate a particular region that we don't know except the creator of such region?
Imam,
how can a guest, a visitor, come to your house and be able to maneuver his ways within your house more than you do? It's not yours. It's not his. It is yours. You'll be able to tell him that, no, don't pass through this place. No, move this way and move that way. That's guidance. Yeah, Allah owns this world of ours. Allah owns it. And He's the only one that can tell us how best, how successful we can make use of it to be able to achieve our goals both in this world and the hereafter. And that's why we need the guidance of Allah. Right in Surah Al-Fatiha, you will see it right there. That Allah talked about guidance, asking Allah for His guidance. Ihdina siratal mustaqim.
Jazakallahu khairan, Imam. Thank you. I know you have said it from the beginning that 1 hour is not enough for us to treat Surah Al-Fatiha, and it's so obvious that even our first question, look at how lengthy the explanation is. My next question, and which I think it's going to be in mind of a lot of our listeners, is Surah Al-Fatiha is also described as mother of the book. Is it because it is the first chapter? Or why does that? Why does it carry that title?
Alhamdulillah, it is called mother of the book. One of the reasons it is being called mother of the book is what I have been explaining. Because everything contained in the Quran, the major message, the summary of the Quran is right there in Surah Al-Fatiha. If you want to understand the summary of the Quran, you just need a quick glimpse of the message in the Quran. Then quickly look, have a quick look into Surah Al-Fatiha. You know, we also emulate things like this when you write books, when you author books, or when you write projects during your academic pursuit or thereabout. There is an aspect where you write a summary, then there's an aspect where you put in abstract or thereabout. That if somebody does not want to really go into the pain of checking the book one after the other from the beginning till the end, and needs an idea of what the book is all about, then the person quickly needs to go to your summary or go to your abstract and will have an idea of what is there in the book. And the abstract summary is meant to be catchy and so interesting to whet the appetite of the prospective reader, so that whatever the person finds in the abstract or summary will give the person that zeal, that urge, wanting to go into the to the book to understand the content, the full content of the book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Surah Al-Fatiha to serve this purpose. If you want to whet your appetite regarding the Quran, just read Surah Al-Fatiha. You will not know when you will start reading the book to find more and more information about the Quran. So that's why Surah Al-Fatiha is called the mother of the book, because it contains all the messages right there in the book.
Jazakallah khairan. I know that in your first time explanation about the division of Surah Al-Fatiha, you mentioned Ihdina Surat al-Mustaqim, that is, guide us to the right path. There was a program I attended yesterday, and spoken words, and one of the presenters said, don't lose your identity in the midst of a lot of challenges. Now linking it up to this verse in Surah Al-Fatiha, how do you think it's going to resonate more to those people that are seeking meaning and purpose regardless of their faith?
Alhamdulillah, one of the most misconstrued verse of Surah Al-Fatiha is Ihdina Surat al-Mustaqim. And you see some people getting lost in a verse that is meant to end them guidance, and they end up getting lost. Because some people will say, if the Muslims are rightly guided, why are they asking Allah for guidance all the time? And that's always a question that throws a lot of people off their feet, not knowing what to say about it. That, why, yes, if we are really guided, why are we asking Allah to guide us again? If you're on the right path, if Islam is the right path, why are you saying that, guide us to the right path again? You know? So, the Mustashrikun, the Orientalists, you know, toy with the psychology of people and use this to just, you know, mislead some people off the track. When we talk about the Hidayah, guidance, I've mentioned initially how important guidance is, most especially guidance from Allah. When we talk about guidance, there are two types of guidance. We have Hidayatul Irshad, and we have Hidayatul Tawfiq. Hidayatul Irshad is the guidance of preaching, you know, telling you this is right, this is wrong, this is halal, this is haram, this is this and that. That is Irshad. And that is what messengers of God have come to do. They have come to guide us, telling us what is good, telling us what is bad, telling us what should be encouraged, what should be discouraged. That is Irshad. And that's why Allah called them the guide. Allah called the messengers of God their guides. But in another place, Allah would say that you cannot guide whoever you wish. Innaka lan tahdi man ahbabta. You cannot guide who you wish. Only Allah can guide. What kind of guidance is Allah talking about? The fact that somebody knows something as haram does not mean the person will effect it as haram. Mm. These are two different things. You know this thing is haram. That's one thing. You being able to effect it into your life, cultivate it into your life, and stay away from it as haram is yet another guidance. And that is what we call Hidayah to Tawfiq. Imam, the guidance of Imam, fortune.
Sorry, please, Imam, please, sorry, before you move on, can you give an example of that statement? Because it's deep. Can you give an example of that statement?
Which of the statements?
That something is haram does not mean that the person is going to act as if it's haram.
Yes, okay. For example, a lot of people know that riba is haram. Mm. Riba, that is interest. Mm-hmm. A lot of people know that interest is haram. But they know, yes, it is in their knowledge that it is haram, but they are engaging in it. They find it difficult to stay away from it. Mm. But yet they know it is haram. Those that drink alcohol, those that engage in betting, visiting betting sites, it's we've been made to know that one of the most visited sites by youths is the betting site. So most people know that this is haram. Then why do they still do it? They have the irshad that it is haram, but they don't yet have the tawfiq yet, the hidayah to tawfiq, that he should accept it as haram and effect it in his life. And this is what we are asking Allah all the time. This is what we are asking Allah in every salah. Because you cannot pray except that you read Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. That, oh Allah, all the guidance you have sent to us, grant me the ability to be able to effect them as guidance. Grant me the ability to be able to cultivate them, imbibe them into my way of life. And for everything we want to do in life, for everything we want to lay our hands on, we need the guidance of Allah. Either to know if that thing is good or not, if that thing will be good for us or not. And that's why we need to also ask Allah for His guidance in every aspect of our life. For every step we want to take, we need to ask Allah for His guidance. It is whoever Allah guides that would not go astray. Even in his academic pursuit, even in his professional activities, even in his marital affairs, in whatever affairs of his life, you need guidance of Allah. Even in your speech, what to say. If Allah's guidance is with you, your mouth, your tongue will be directly guided to the extent that what would be grievous and would have a negative consequence, Allah will not make the tongue to say it. It is guidance of Allah. So we need this guidance in its entirety in our lives for us to be successful. But it has a condition. The condition there is that if you are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that when you are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in your salah, Allah responds to you. That's the only recitation you have in your salah that Allah will be responding to you. As they are saying it, Allah is talking back. Then we need to ask ourselves, am I reciting my Surah Al-Fatiha in a way that will make Allah respond to me? because some of us were just, reciting it anyhow. That's another issue. Now, if you say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbil Alameen, Allah responds as you get to that point, Allah will respond and say that my servant is praising me. Because Allah divided, he said, I divided Surah Al-Fatiha equally between myself and my servant. Equally. It is equal sharing between myself and my servant. When you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah responds to you. When you say, praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, Allah would say, my servant is praising me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah would say, my servant is praising me. He's eulogizing me. Naam? Maliki Yawmiddin, my servant is eulogizing me, is praising me. That's three already to Allah. Then, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. It is you only I would worship. And it is you only I would seek help. That's a covenant. You are making a promise, you are making a covenant to Allah at that point. Allah will say, this is between me and my servant. Allah Akbar. This is between me and my servant. It is not for Allah alone, and it's not for you alone. It is between you and your Creator. Because it's a covenant. As long as you fulfill the covenant of worshipping Allah alone, and fulfilling the covenant of seeking Allah's help alone, then the remaining will happen. Ihdina siratul mustaqim, guide us to the right path. Then Allah will say, for my servant is what he has requested. That is for his servant. Provided you have fulfilled the condition before, the promise, the covenant of worshipping Allah alone and seeking his help alone, then guidance will always be yours. The part of those you have bestowed your favor upon, Allah will say, for my servant is whatever he requested.
Amen.
Not the part of those that you are angry with, and not the part of those that have gone astray. Allah will say, for my servant is whatever he has requested. So you can see, Allah gave three. Idina Sirat al-Mustaqim, that's one. Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, two. Ghayr al-Maghdubi alayhim wa al-Dhalin, three. He gave it to the servant, provided the servant fulfilled the covenant between he and Allah. And the first three is for Allah alone. He is eulogizing Allah. The last three is for the servant alone, provided the one in the middle is fulfilled and worked upon.
May Allah make it easy for every one of us. Amen. If you are just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. Our phone lines are now open. For calls, 07000-917-917. For those that would prefer to use the SMS or WhatsApp, 07031756537. Imam,
no.
While you were speaking, you mentioned about a lot of us making mistakes during Salah, especially when we are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. It's repeated almost as in every time when we are praying. How does this repetition nurture a deeper connection to Allah and reinforce spiritual mindfulness? You know, sometimes when you are reciting it, some things will be coming to your mind, distorting and things like that. What can we do, and how can it really help us to deepen our connection with Almighty Allah without thinking of something else?
Surah Al-Fatiha, like I said, is Ruknun min Arkani Salah. It's a pillar from amongst the pillars of Salah. Without it, your Salah is nowhere. Like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, some people will be praying for 60 years, but it will be there in his record that he never prayed.
Ya Allah.
Subhanallah. He must have been praying for about 60 years, but it's not there. No single one is in his record that he ever observed Sunnah. Why? because he did not observe Salah the way Allah wants him to observe it. One of the things we compromise is Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is to be recited every day 17 times at least. It is said that whoever you allow, you may, don't them say you are not allowed, you may be pardoned. Your mistakes in other surah may be overlooked. It doesn't really have serious effect on your salah. But Surah Al-Fatiha, the mistake there is not overlooked. And that's why it is said that whoever that cannot recite Surah Al-Fatiha perfectly should not be prayed behind him. You don't pray behind such an individual. He can't recite Surah Al-Fatiha, then you can't pray behind him. The letters, the pronunciations must be perfect. If someone accepts Islam now, right now, one of the first, after taking his shahada, taking his ritual bath, he is obliged to learn Surah Al-Fatiha before the next Salah. He is obliged to learn Surah Al-Fatiha before the next Salah, that is Salah to Zuhr. He must learn it. If he strives and is unable to get it yet, then he is given another option. But before the next Salah again, he should have learned Surah Al-Fatiha. That's how serious Surah Al-Fatiha is. And you learn it with proper pronunciation. It's quite disheartening that a whole lot of Muslims never learned Surah Al-Fatiha. They just picked it. This way our fathers used to read it, and you don't be reading it. Recite Surah Al-Fatiha. I mean, Muslim recites Surah Al-Fatiha, and you see him distorting the recitation. Once you have distorted the recitation, you have distorted the effect of Surah Al-Fatiha on you. And you have distorted the effect of Surah Al-Fatiha in your Salah. It doesn't take us anything to learn Surah Al-Fatiha. Even if you cannot learn any other Surah, enroll for classes and learn Surah Al-Fatiha. Learn Surah Al-Fatiha, just 7 verses. Pronounce them the way they ought to be pronounced, so that you don't distort the meaning and you don't distort the spiritual effect of it in your life. Both your spiritual life and your physical life and everything. This is quite very, very important. Very, very important. Because when we finish Surah Al-Fatiha, we are expected to say Ameen. What is the meaning of Ameen? Allahumma istajib. Oh Allah, accept this. And that's the only time we are allowed to say, to do the same thing with the Imam during Salah. When the Imam says Ameen, we say Ameen alongside, because wherever the Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the angels, then his sins will be forgiven. His sins will be forgiven. How would you know when the angels would say Ameen? They will say their Ameen to the Ameen of the Imam, and that's why your Ameen must coincide with the Ameen of the Imam, so that eventually coincides with the Ameen of the angels. And that to tell you that the angels too do not joke with Surah Al-Fatiha. Now, they don't joke with Surah Al-Fatiha. They join us in Salah. They listen to Surah Al-Fatiha and they say Ameen. Now, what are you saying Ameen to? To your wrong recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha? To your distorted recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha? Is that what you are saying Ameen to? Only if some people know the meaning of what they are saying, they will desist from saying Ameen whenever they read Surah Al-Fatiha. May Allah guide us aright. It doesn't take us anything. We are Muslims for a purpose. Yes, we found ourselves as Muslims through birth. Yes. But yet, we have to build upon it and be intentional about being Muslims. We have to make it as part of our identity. So we have to learn it, subject and dedicate time to learning this. It doesn't take us anything. Let's learn it the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received it, read it, and taught people. May Allah make it easy for us.
Ameen. May Allah forgive our shortcomings. Ameen. Imam, I've been trying to push this question till later, but you mentioned something close to it, and that's what I'm going to ask you now. You said somebody that is just entering into Islam has to learn Suratul Fatiha. Now, for someone that is encountering the Quran for the first time, how can Suratul Fatiha serve as a gateway to understanding the Quran's profound message and the purpose?
The moment the person that just accepts Islam opens Suratul Fatiha, reads through it, introspects on the messages, the inspiration of the entire message of the Quran comes to him. And would be willing to know more about those, because Allah talked about those he is angry with. Who are those Allah is angry with? Allah talked about those that have gone astray. Who are those that have gone astray? Allah talked about those that he has bestowed his favor upon. Then who are those he has bestowed his favor upon? How do you live the life of those Allah has bestowed his favor upon so that he will continue to bestow his favor upon you? How do you stay away from the lives of those Allah is angry with and that have gone astray so that you don't end up like them? Then when you come across this, then you start, the questions start coming in. who are those Allah is angry with? What did they do that made Allah got angry with them? Who are those that have gone astray? Why are they astray? What did they do that made them go astray? Who are those Allah has bestowed his favor upon? How would I be part of those he has bestowed his favor upon? And things like that. Would that not push an individual into dedicating time into understanding the crux of all this and now effecting it into his life to have a sound spiritual life as a Muslim?
Simply put, either you are just entering the fold of Islam, or you are already Muslim, practicing Muslim. Anytime you recite Suratul Fatiha, always meditate on it. Think about it. Ask questions. Example of Karan Imam. Okay, looking at the dilemma, the moral and ethical dilemma that is around us, in the world in general, how can the guidance of Suratul Fatiha inspire a life rooted in justice, balance, and compassion?
Suratul Fatiha is all about Allah communicates his mercy in Suratul Fatiha. Allah bears a lot of names that he has made us know, that he bears a lot of names. But he decided specifically to choose two names and kept it in Suratul Fatiha, and the two are shades of his mercy. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. They're both talking about mercy of Allah in different magnitude, in different levels. What is this telling us? If you are reciting Suratul Fatiha expecting the mercy of Allah, then you have to be merciful to people too. You cannot claim to expect the mercy of Allah and not be merciful to others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man la yarham, la yurham." Whoever that does not show mercy will not be shown mercy too. Whoever that is not merciful will not be shown mercy. In another place, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhumur Rahman. Irhamu man fil ardi yarhamukum man fis sama." That is, those that are merciful to others, the only one that will show mercy to them, which is the best mercy they could ever think of, is the most merciful God, which is Allah. The most merciful God. The Prophet ﷺ now said,
Irhamu man fil ardi. Show mercy upon those that are on the surface of the earth. Those that are on the land. He didn't talk about mankind. He said those that are on the surface of the earth. A cat is part of those on the surface of the earth. A cow is part of those on the surface of the earth. Show mercy to them. Show mercy to the plants. Show mercy to the birds. Show mercy to your neighbors. Show mercy to your family. In fact, your connection with your family is connected to the mercy of Allah. Allah said, this ties of kinship you are talking about, the name is coined out of my mercy. I coined a name for it out of my mercy. Whoever upholds with it has upheld with my mercy. And whoever severs from it, that is, cuts away the ties of kinship, has cut away from my mercy. So why are you avoiding your family? Why are you not being merciful to your family? Why are you not being merciful to your wives? Why are you not being merciful to your husband? Why are you not being merciful to your children? Why are you not being merciful to your parents? Your extended family. Then you want to cut off the mercy of Allah from you. Allah mentioned this categorically in Surah to Muhammad. The moment you do this, then the wrath of Allah will be upon you when you cut off the ties of kinship. Now, because you have cut off the mercy of Allah away from you, when you distort justice, you are distorting mercy. When in marriages, when we talk about, some people will say, they can mention, love, I love you, I love you, I love you, almost 100 times in a day. But there are no actions reflecting that statement. We should know that love is in the feeling. The feeling is the love. The action is the mercy. The action of love is mercy. So if you claim to love somebody, then what will reflect to make us know that you truly love that person is true mercy. So love is feeling, mercy is the action to show that you truly love that person. Communicating your love through action, that is mercy. So we need to bring back mercy into our midst from the reflection of the message from Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah has been merciful to all of us. He said He is Ar-Rahman. There are so many things you never asked Allah that Allah gave you. Abi, can you remember when you wrote an application to Allah that you need a tongue? When did you request it from Allah? When did you request lips from Allah? When did you request teeth from Allah? When did you request fingers from Allah? When did you request limbs from Allah? When did you request blood from Allah? When did you request... I can keep naming it. Because what you did not request that Allah gave you is more than what you requested. He knows those things that you need. Out of His mercy, He has given you. Look at how much did we pay Allah for the air? Out of His mercy. It is with His mercy we are surviving in this world. And it is with His mercy we will gain Jannah too. Without the mercy of Allah, we can't gain Jannah. And I'm using this opportunity to tell everyone, most especially family. I'm emphasizing on family because that is the smallest unit of the community. When the family is intact, is in good shape, the entire world will be in good shape. Please, there are sometimes love would be questioned in your relationship because it is relative to the actions you receive from your partner. At some point you will query, do I even love this person? But the moment love cannot be found, please do not allow mercy to be nowhere to be found in your relationship. If you can't find love, let mercy be there. You know, there is this statement that some people will say in Yoruba, "Maloju anu ti fo." Oju anu godo fo. Oju anu godo fo. Mercy must not be lost. At any point, mercy must not be lost. You must be merciful to those you know and you don't know. You must be merciful to those that are good to you and are not good to you. You must show mercy on everyone, because it is the mercy, this same mercy Allah is using to do what? To relate with every one of us. Even those that worship Him, those that do not worship Him, Allah is still relating with them with His mercy. You know what? The Rahman of Allah. Allah is Ar-Rahman. Allah is Ar-Rahim. He is generally merciful to those that worship Him, those that do not worship Him, those that know Him, those that do not know Him. Allah is generally merciful to them. And Allah is Ar-Rahim. He is especially merciful to those that specifically worship Him. He is reserving His mercy for them right in the heavens to be able to shower this upon them. But what's the relationship? What is the level? What's the connection? The general merciful nature of Allah to the other one that Allah is keeping for His righteous servant is ratio 99:1. That is, the one Allah is reserving for those that specially worship Him is 99. And the one that Allah has been sharing for all of us since the beginning of creation till now is one, just one out of His mercy, 1% of His mercy. So those that are so rich, stinkingly rich, what again rich? Which other word?
Everything rich.
Yeah, rich. That you think that am I still in this world? When you hear some people earning $7 billion in a day, you would hear that is that possible?
Out of range.
All this is still within 1% of the mercy of Allah.
Allahu Akbar.
You enter some houses, some dwellings, you ask yourself, am I dreaming? Am I still in this world? It is still out of 1% of the mercy of Allah is what He has been sharing amongst His servants since the time of creation till the world will come to an end. What of the remaining 99%? Now, He is reserving it for those that will enter Jannah. May Allah count us as part of those that will enter Jannah. Now imagine how rich those rich people, you talk about Bill Gates, you talk about Zuckerberg, you talk about this, you talk about that, talk about their wealth, talk about Dangote, talk about their wealth. You'll be wondering that how well all these things have not constituted 1% of the mercy of Allah.
No.
The wealth of Qarun, when Allah mentioned the wealth of Qarun, that empty men will be the ones, four empty men will carry the key of his treasure and everything. Key to his treasure, not even the treasure itself. All these still constitute 1% of the mercy of Allah. Now everything that everybody has been sharing, in 99 folds of it, Allah has it in kept. He has kept it in place for those that will enter Jannah. Why can't we just walk towards earning that special mercy of Allah in Jannah? May Allah make it easy for everyone.
Amen, 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 amen. Jazakallah khairan, Abu Labiba, Imam Tawfiq Busari. Really appreciate you. We pray that Almighty Allah continue to grant you success. Allah continue to enrich your knowledge. Amen. Jazakallah khairan for coming onto the show. My prayer goes to WFM and MPAC for this program. A big thank you to my engineer, that's Timmy, and my producer, Ayomide. Thank you also to our esteemed listeners for joining us to this show. Take home from today's program, it's just a motivation. Let Surah Al-Fatiha be your daily anchor. Every time you recite it, feel the personal dialogue with Allah, the merciful. Reflect on its meaning and let it strengthen your resolve to sink and to seek the straight path, no matter the challenges that we are facing. Remember that Allah responds to every word that we utter in this chapter. How powerful is it to know that our Creator listens to us directly? Let's use Surah Al-Fatiha as a divine connection to fuel our faith, inspire our actions, and guide us towards the success in this world and in the year after. Jazakallah khair once again, Imam, because this is really deep and it is really thought-provoking. It is this is the month of Rajab. We would like to endeavor our listeners, everyone out there, kindly remember the people of Palestine in your dua. May Allah grant them success, may Allah grant them sukkah. I am Rashida Aditum Okeolaniyo. Signing off, until next time, next week, same station, same time. Masalam, and enjoy the rest of your weekend with this Nasheed by Mazin. Peace be upon you.
There's faith in my world. It comes back to your teachings and all your words. From your life, I have learned to be patient and caring at every turn. The reason I'm strong, you're where I belong. In a world spinning out of control, the reason for my pride, you are my guide. And I will always follow your way, your way, your way. Oh, alayka sallallahu, oh Muhammad. Peace and blessings on you every day. Alayka sallallahu, oh Muhammad. You inspire me in every way. I promise that wherever I go, whenever I pray, I'll be sending you praise with the words that I say. Rasulallah.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.